Welcome to the VA Tourism Podcast, and I'm Kojo Penton Williams. The VA Tourism Podcast is dedicated to Africa's travel and tourism industry, where leaders from the private and public sectors get to talk to us. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, and Google Podcasts. In this episode, the CEO of WestAir Aviation, Henry Van Schalkwyk, gives an account of how the airline survived the disruptive coronavirus pandemic and their quest to support Namibia's tourism revival strategy, as well as the vision of WestAir to have a foothold on the Southern African market. The airline currently has operations in South Africa, Angola, Senegal, Mozambique, and Mali, with diversified aviation operations.
Sorry, tell me more about WestAir Aviation. Who is WestAir, how you started, and everything.
Okay, so WestAir Aviation started in 1967. It was started by a gentleman named Mr. Wolfgang Graumann. He's still the chairman of our board.
Okay.
And he's actually been very active in aviation for the better part of 55 years. So he knows, he's the institutional knowledge for Namibian aviation. He's basically, played a very big part in developing the sector in the country. So WestAir Aviation was started by him. It started off as an aircraft maintenance organization, predominantly focused on just servicing and maintaining general aviation aircraft. Because at that stage, and that was pre-Namibian independence, Namibia did not have a liberalized aviation environment. It was only the state that was allowed to conduct commercial air services. And that was done through, in the old days, it was called Southwest Airlines. And then later it moved to Namib Air. But pre-Namibian independence, a private company was not able to get an air operator certificate to conduct commercial aviation services. So at that stage, Mr. Graumann with WestAir Aviation was predominantly focused on just aircraft maintenance, and then he later started the flight school for training pilots and developing the sector. And he grew organically, so he bought one aircraft, refurbished it, and then he leased it out. So that was actually where WestAir Aviation started as a commercial, I would say, flying business, was actually just leasing out aircraft pre-independence. And I think it was for 15 years or 13 years, every year they apply with the Transportation Commission of Southwest Africa. At that stage, it wasn't Namibia yet, to receive an air operator certificate to be able to conduct commercial aviation services. And every year it was withheld. And it was only after independence, in 1992 or 1993, that WestAir Aviation was granted an air operator certificate to be able to conduct commercial air services.
Okay.
So what happened then is, then WestAir Aviation started with a charter business, predominantly focused on the tourism market in Namibia, so doing all kinds of charter work, flying tourists across the country. They also had a very big contracts arm at that stage, doing humanitarian work in southern Angola. So at that stage, we're talking about the mid-90s. There was still civil war in Angola, and there was quite a lot of humanitarian work happening on that side as well. So for the World Food Program, for the United Nations, and so forth. So WestAir was very involved in actually supporting activities in southern Angola at that stage as well. For the World Food Program predominantly. So the company grew over the years. We developed our flying departments, we developed our maintenance departments, we developed our flight school departments, and we were in a lot of cases always the first people to develop something in the country. So we were the first people to start with advanced training. On the jet side, we were the first people to start with engineers training. And we always had a policy of inclusivity. So when we start with a new project, if we have an opportunity to grow, we always try and package it in such a way that it's local growth, and that we also develop our local infrastructure. So where we are today, WestAir is no longer a Namibian operator. I would say we're an African operator. We have operations in Mozambique, we've got operations in South Africa, we've got operations in Angola. We have operations in Mali and we've got operations in Senegal. We have conducted on an ad hoc basis operations in probably every country in Africa. This was predominantly done through geophysical surveys. So, yeah, today Western is a very diversified aviation service provider. We've got more than 42 aircraft that we operate. They range from small single engine piston aircraft right through to 50-seat Embraer jet aircraft. We have more than 80 pilots. We've got more than 30 engineers. So, yeah, quite a substantial change since where we started. And we are also the first privately owned Namibian airline. So this was also a big achievement for us. You know, similarly to the 15 years that WestAir spent prior to independence, just to be able to deliver or to get the licensing to be able to deliver commercial services in the charter space, it similarly took the same amount of time for a private company in Namibia to be granted the licenses to be able to conduct scheduled commercial services. We conducted it once, or we applied one for it once, and then the airline or the national airline, they kind of, what would you say, they opposed the application at the Transport Commission, and then most of the times the opposition was accepted. And it was only until late 2017 where WestAir was actually able to get the approvals from the Transport Commission to be able to start conducting scheduled air services, basically to become an airline.
Okay.
So for us, that was a watershed moment, and we were very excited about that because, you know, it was again a first for Namibia, and it was again, I think, a big achievement for the private Namibian aviation sector that has grown to such a point where there was actually a company in the country that can offer this service and that can do it safely and efficiently.
Okay, so just to stay on the course of the you know, the passenger in schedule flight, which is because you look at Namibia and in terms of tourism, it's core for them. So if since you launched that particular flight in 2017,
yeah,
how has the response been in terms of connectivity to the country, and what is it that you think you are bringing? I mean, WestAir is bringing on board to change the game in terms of tourism, in terms of air links, and you know, in terms of connectivity to the main attraction centers.
Yeah, look, it was a challenge. It was a very challenging, you know, time for us. The first reason, and I think the main reason why it was challenging, is no one in our company has ever started an airline. You know, we understand flying very well, and we understand dispatch reliability, and we understand aircraft, we understand maintenance, but none of us has actually started an airline. And to get the approvals for the airline was actually the first step. You know, so we put a nice proposal together, and we made sure that we have the right technical capability and the right flying capability, and we made sure that we've got the financial resources in place and everything, and then you apply the Transport Commission. And then they grant you the licenses, and then you're like, okay, now we've caught this bus, we have to do something with it. Mm-hmm. So it took us about a year and a half after we actually got the approvals to roll out our first scheduled flight. So our first scheduled flight, we started in July of 2019.
Okay.
And that was between...
Last year, literally.
So that was literally last year, yeah. And that was between Windhoek and Oranjemund. So just to give you the background, Oranjemund is a diamond mining area in the country. It is probably, if you look at our GDP, it's probably one of the biggest contributors to the Namibian GDP. Comes from the diamond mining activities in Oranjemund. So what happened in Oranjemund as well, it was a town that was always closed to the public. It was never an open town because it was involved in diamond mining, and they opened the town last year. So we also saw it as a way to actually help in the development of the town if they get a link. So we started daily flights to Oranjemund. That was our first schedule that we launched. And then about a month later, in August, we launched on Dangwa schedule. So that is also a domestic schedule between Windhoek and the northern part of the country. Ondangwa is where most, 70% of the Namibian population lives in the northern parts of the country.
Okay.
So Ondangwa was very important because that is where most people, their homes are. You know, so we started a daily flight between Windhoek and Ondangwa. And we basically made it possible for people that are working in the mining areas in the south to be able to connect right through to Ondangwa on a daily basis, and also be able to connect back to from the northern parts of the country right through to Ranjamund. So that was our first two domestic schedules that we launched. And the response was very positive. I mean, people really supported us. I think the traveling public was very excited that there was an alternative. Because, you know, with the alternative coming to market, it also made pricing more competitive.
Of course.
It increases the level of services for everyone, you know. So, I mean, that's just how the free market system works. And so the result for the consumer was very positive. And I think we also received very good feedback at that stage from the market. And then in October of last year, so October 2019, we launched a Cape Town schedule. So that was our first international schedule that we launched. And we basically ran that schedule, I would say, end of October, November, December, January, February. And then COVID struck.
Yeah.
But it's been a very, very good experience. We've got our system sorted out now. We've carried well over 30,000 passengers since we started in July last year. Like I've said to you earlier, our dispatch reliability is more than 99% on time. And so it's been challenging in the beginning. We've got a young team. No one has started an airline in our setup.
Okay.
But we've learned a lot, and we've had a lot of people that have assisted us in the past. You know, even South African operators that are now competition of us, they assisted us. When we bought our first Embraer, we went on a little roadshow to Joburg, and you know, everyone's doors was open and they were...
So you use Embraer for your passenger and shuttle flights, I mean, for outbound and...
Yeah, so our predominant aircraft is an Embraer ERJ-145.
Okay.
So it's a 50-passenger regional jet that was... It's from built by Embraer in Brazil. It's a proven aircraft platform, you know, in the sub-region. There's quite a lot of them operating in the sub-region. I think probably close to 100 now. And the dispatch reliability statistics speak for themselves. It's really a very good aircraft. It's comfortable. The passengers like it. The pilots like it. The aerostations like it. Everyone is comfortable with the aircraft. So, yeah,
so
we're very happy with
it. So at present, for your international routes, it's Cape Town and Johannesburg.
Yeah. So currently, so after COVID, you know, during the COVID pandemic, when there was national lockdowns everywhere, we basically stopped our scheduled operation.
Okay.
Because
you
can only fly a scheduled operation if people are allowed to leave the house.
Perfect.
So it was difficult, but we stopped it. So beginning when we saw, even before Namibia actually went in lockdown, we already saw that we are going to close. So what we did immediately is we gave all of the passengers that had pre-bookings, we gave them the option to either keep a voucher so that they can rebook when we start again, or we offered them 100% refund. The majority of our passengers had trust that we were going to start again, so they didn't take the refund. But there was a few refunds here and there, which we managed to pay out. And then during COVID, we just kind of continued to do what we call repatriation flights.
Yes.
So we had every 2 weeks, we had one flight between Windhoek and Johannesburg, and we had one flight between Windhoek and Cape Town. And that was just to move people back home. You know, people that were working in Namibia that wanted to get back, or people that were stuck, or students, or, you know, a lot of people working for embassies that we moved. So we managed during the whole COVID period to do at least a flight to South Africa every week. And then we also were able to facilitate flights to Europe. So we did 3 flights to Frankfurt. And we did about, I think, 2 flights to Amsterdam, 2 flights to Madrid. We did quite a number of flights to West Africa, to Accra, to Bamako. So we managed to keep busy.
You were very busy.
Yeah, we managed to keep busy during the COVID time, picking up where most of the legacy airlines left. So we're very proud of our team. They were very, you know, they thought outside of the box. They really reacted quickly on opportunities. And yeah, we're sitting here today. The borders are open and we're still here.
Yeah, so now you spoke about the post-COVID, or you know, now that we're beginning to see the flights again, are you going to stick to your... Of course, I know there's a load factor, but yeah, on plan, do you have plans of going beyond Cape Town and Johannesburg?
Yeah. So, look, we have our plan. So, yes. I can tell you, you know, we've applied for... We have quite an extensive network.
Okay.
That we have in place and that we can start rolling out as soon as the market recovers. It was a big question in the office, when are we going to start, or how are we going to roll out the scheduled operations? The market is a question mark, and it is actually, you know, it still remains a question mark. If you see what's happening in Europe now, they're closing down.
Yeah.
We had quite a number of airlines that committed to flying to Windhoek, and they've cancelled now. The last one to cancel was Eurowings, that said, you know, Germany is going into lockdown, they're cancelling. So it is very difficult to time it, you know, when
yeah.
when are you starting? Because the thing is, if you start, then you can't stop again, you know. So you have to, we've built a lot of trust with our customers over the last year that if we say we're flying, then we're flying, you know, and we're flying on time. So we're very cognizant of that fact, and we really, you know, don't want to disappoint our passengers.
Okay.
So initially, yeah, at the moment what we decided is we don't see a lot of business travelers, you know. The one big thing that COVID caused is people are more comfortable with video conferencing and phone calls and things like that.
Yeah, it is, but it's not the same as going to have one-on-one meetings.
Yeah, no, it's not the same, but we have noticed that the business travel hasn't returned. A lot of companies still have a no-travel policy to their staff, and you know, so it is difficult
to plan something around it.
Yeah, but there is definitely a big section of people that want to travel for leisure. I mean, there are people that's been stuck in Europe now for the best part of this year, and they just want to get out in the open. They just want to get to the desert. They just want to see, you know, what Namibia has to offer. So we decided we are going to launch 2 flights a week to Johannesburg and 2 flights a week to Cape Town, between Windhoek and Cape Town and Windhoek and Johannesburg. And that is predominantly focused on getting leisure travelers to Namibia. So these flights connect conveniently with most of the long-haul traffic that goes into Joburg, and also most of the long-haul traffic that goes into Cape Town. And it also gives people the opportunity to come to Windhoek or to come to Namibia for a weekend. You know, so everyone asks us, why are we flying to Cape Town on a Monday and on a Friday? And the reason why we fly on a Monday and a Friday is because if you come on a Friday from Cape Town and you want to go on a desert experience, then you have to leave Namibia again with a COVID test. You know, so you have to arrive, you do your COVID test, go on your safari, and then when you fly out, you have to have the results for your COVID test to be able to get back home. You know, so these are small things that people are missing, and we've really tried to streamline that experience as well. So you can book a COVID test with your ticket as an ancillary on our website. Okay. And we have an arrangement with Pathcare, who conducts the COVID test in Namibia, that if a WestAir client comes for a COVID test, then they are guaranteed to receive the result before they leave on their flight. And they actually email the COVID test to us directly. So when a passenger comes to check-in, then their COVID test is there and they can pick it up there from check-in.
Yeah, because I was going to bring to my next question of, obviously, COVID is now here with us. It has changed operations of how we do business.
Mm.
And looking at what have you incorporated now into the whole model of your structure, like you're talking about, because it's quite terrible experience sometimes with all these tests, etc., back and forth and all of that.
Yeah, so we just tried to make it as convenient as possible. You know, we want to remove as many of the barriers there are currently to motivate people to travel. So the nice thing about WestAir is, I mean, we've got clients this weekend. You know, they're coming in, it's a group of 10 people, they want to go fishing on our western coast, and they're coming in with from Cape Town on our airline. They landing at the airport. We organize that they do COVID tests at the airport. Then they're getting into a charter aircraft, which is also offered by WestAir, and then they're flying to Cape Cross. They're going fishing for the weekend, and then Monday morning they fly back. And then when they arrive at the airport on Monday morning, they get their results of their COVID test and they fly out. So the whole system was developed in such a way that we can make it possible for people in SADC to be able to see Namibia and to experience Namibia for a weekend. And they can also see Namibia and experience Namibia, obviously, for longer. But we kind of developed it in such a way to motivate people to actually see Namibia. There are a lot of good deals in Namibia at the moment. I mean, there are lodges that historically, you know, cost $2,000 a night per person. And now there's prices where if you earn a rand salary and you live in Cape Town, you can actually afford that lodge at the moment. So, you know, we really try to put something in place that you know motivates everyone to travel.
Okay, now you know for my last two questions is you mentioned earlier that you know you have some plans in place to be able to have a route, a circuit that will allow leisure travelers, for example, to fly from Cape Town, land here, change aircraft, go to Sosoli or Swakopmund and all of that.
Yeah.
Give me a gist of that.
Okay, so what we did is we beefed up our reservations office quite substantially. We put people in there that's got experience in actually putting travel packages together, that knows the country very well, that knows where lodges are situated, that knows what runways are good, what runways aren't good, that's got the contacts with the accommodation. So that was the first step to actually achieving this, is to put the right people in positions where they can actually support this. So this was the first step. So this we did. We've got 5 people in our reservations office now that can do this. So if there are special requests, you know, people that want to go to a lodge or whatever, then they can handle it and they can give that support. With that, we also put packages together. So we have weekend packages that we put together to Cape Town. So for Namibians that want to go to Cape Town. And we also have weekend packages that we put together for South Africans that want to experience Etosha or Sources Vlei. And this is a package that includes a charter flight to Sources Vlei, a charter flight to Etosha, living or staying in an upmarket lodge, you know, really having that upmarket experience that is actually only affordable now because of COVID, you know. So those are opportunities, you know, and people need to use it. You never know when it's going to come by again. But for SADC and for travel in SADC, this is a major opportunity.
Okay. Now, on the part of Air Namibia's precarious position now, the dire situation they found themselves right now in, how do WestAir, aviation or airline, how are they going to take opportunity or you know, be able to fill the vacuum that will be left by what's happening right now with Air Namibia?
Yeah, look, I don't think Air Namibia's position at the moment is only, you know, I don't think it's a unique position to Air Namibia. Most legacy airlines in the sub-region and also in the world is in a similar position. It is a combination. I think the timing was really bad, you know, for when COVID hit. We were lucky in the sense that we have a diversified business model, you know, so even during COVID we were able to operate. But most legacy airlines, that is what they do. So their revenue went to zero. So it's definitely not the vacuum that Air Namibia would leave. I think there is quite a larger vacuum that will be left in the sub-region. You know, SAA is in a similar position. Comair also has their own struggles. TAG in Angola has their own issues. You know, Air Zimbabwe hasn't been able to get up and running again. So it's not only Air Namibia that's got an issue or that is struggling you know, to get fully operational again. But I think for us as a Namibian company, we would actually prefer to have a stronger aviation sector as a whole. So we see Air Namibia is definitely competition to us, but we would much rather have them on our side helping to develop the Namibian aviation sector, and then we compete effectively with foreign airlines that are flying into Namibia. So Yeah, at the moment, how we've been working with Enamobi in the past is we've actually had a very open relationship. We've always supported them. We actually leased aircraft on an ACMI basis to them for 18 months when their Embraer aircraft had to go in for scheduled maintenance. And even now, we are currently talking to them to see if we can get a protection agreement in place, you know, so if any of their passengers or if one of their flights are cancelled, then they can automatically be booked on our flights and vice versa. You know, so that we kind of have a open door policy with each other. We really try to see where we can cooperate to make Namibian aviation stronger. But yeah, it is definitely a reality. They have their challenges.
Sure.
And I can't comment whether they will be able to get out of their challenges.
That's fair.
But yeah, we definitely see the market as a whole. You know, so in the whole sub region, you know, we see massive opportunities where things start up again.
Okay.
And I think we're very well positioned for that opportunities, and that's what we're working towards.
So finally, in 5 years from now, I mean, where do you want to see WestAir as a passenger airline, and you know, in a sub region, and what do you think your impact will be in terms of tourism to a country that largely depends on leisure tourism?
So I think, you know, if you ask that question, you also need to look at, you know, where does Namibia see itself and how is Namibia placing itself in the sub-region? And there I would like to start, you know, just with our airport infrastructure. We have a state-owned airports company, Namibian Airports Company, that are very focused and, you know, has the ambition of giving Namibia hub status, you know, in the sub-region. They want to provide airport infrastructure that motivates larger long-haul airlines to actually choose Namibia as their destination for Southern Africa. And, you know, this can also only be done if you have a comprehensive feeder infrastructure that operates, you know, from Windhoek. So the Namibian Airports Company has already pronounced themselves on this. You know, they really want to upgrade our main international airport in Windhoek. They've already upgraded most of the domestic infrastructure to such an extent that I have to say we're actually quite happy, you know, the support that they give. So given this, you know, infrastructure drive that we receive from government, our goal definitely is to have a comprehensive route infrastructure in 5 years. So we would like to have daily flights to Johannesburg, daily flights to Cape Town, daily flights to Victoria Falls, daily flights to Luanda, daily flights to Harare and Lusaka. And then we also hope to have a very extensive domestic route network, you know, that exists both of Ondangwa. It consists of Oranjemund, it consists of Katima, Mulilo, which is in the northeastern part of the country, and then also to have our safari route in place, you know, so having our daily flights between Windhoek, Itosha, Swakopmund, and Sossus Vlei. So that is definitely our goal, that is what we're working towards, but yeah, we always need to keep in mind we are only 130 people in WestAir, and I think we've managed really well if you see what we've achieved and what we've done up to now. And we've done everything with our own financial resources. And so we've always, you know, since the beginning of WestAir, we've maintained the policy of growing organically. You know, if you start a route, when you get it going, you start with the next route and the next route. And we've really seen positive growth. I mean, we launched Cape Town 2 weeks ago, and today we've already reached the load factors that we planned for. You know, so it's really, we're really enthusiastic of what is happening, and we just hope the world will normalize.
Yeah,
and that people are, you know, I think everyone is motivated to travel. I think it's more a case of just, you know, how easy and convenient it is to travel.
Exactly, that's just right.
And we definitely focused on making it as easy and as convenient as possible for people to travel. And in 5 years' time, we definitely are going to be a much larger airline than what you see today.
Thank you so much for time.
All right, thank you very much. It's good to see you. Yeah.